It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9, and that can only mean one thing. Jackson, Kevin, and Christian are all in Studio A. Special guest Owen Pulley is joining us, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
Welcome to... Sorry about that, a little loud. Welcome to the Sports Spotlight. I'm special guest Owen Pulley, taking the place of Jackson White this week. Unfortunately, he is not here today, alongside Christian Hernandez and Kevin Gleva. We're going to hit you guys with some soccer news and some football news going into week three, coming out of week two. We're going to talk about some week two games and our predictions for week three. First up, Carolina and Houston. Let's just dive right into it.
All right. Looking at this match, Panthers are coming in 2-0 versus the Texans, who are coming in 1-1.
You know, it's kind of interesting to look at these Thursday night games. I mean, last week it was the Washington football team and the Giants.
Right.
This week it's the Panthers and the Texans, which the Panthers are 2-0, but like these kind of primetime spot games, only game of the day at night, and they're just kind of throwing these interesting mixture of teams in it. No really big name teams have played a Thursday night yet.
I mean, they had week one, they had America's team really, and Tom Brady, so that's a good one. That was a good matchup.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks, though, it's kind of right. Been interesting.
They haven't had the greatest matchups, but they were good games. Like the Washington and New York, not two teams that you'd think to light up some fireworks, but a really good game.
Yeah, and really, at the end of the day, I don't really care who's playing, but if it's a good game, it's going to be entertaining, so that's what really matters.
But going into that one, Sam Darnold looked really good in week one and two. So is Christian McCaffrey. And how do you think they're going to play out?
You know, in this game, I do think that the Panthers are going to take the win. I mean, McCaffrey, he hasn't missed a beat since his injury. And like you said, Sam Darnold, a new team, but he's been playing really well. But I think the big thing is going to be Tyrod Taylor for the Texans. I don't believe he is playing.
He's not. Davis Mills is going to come in.
Yeah, he's expected to return week six. So he's not playing for the Titans tonight. Or Texans, excuse me, and I think that's going to do it for them. So Panthers taking this one.
Yeah.
It seems like a pretty easy result, in my opinion, for the Panthers over the Texans. I don't see the Texans coming out of this at all.
No. All right, next game, Indianapolis Colts at the Tennessee Titans. Carson Wentz injured, against Los Angeles. Questionable for Tennessee. We'll have to see how that goes. Offensive line just can't really get it going right now for Indianapolis. Receivers are all there. Minus T.Y. Hilton. I mean, they did have some injuries, actually. Paris Campbell. T.Y. Hilton's been out since week one, or before week one. And, just Carson Wentz is out. There was one more Colt. I can't remember his name. I can't think. I don't know why. But he's out right now. Wentz questionable to play. Tennessee looking really good with Tannehill, Brown, Julio, and Derrick Henry all looking good today, or last week, so we're going to see what Indianapolis can do against them. I got to give this one to Tennessee, though. I don't think that Indianapolis can pull through.
Yeah, this is a big game early in the season for the AFC South. Two teams that are kind of expected to hang around the top, and for the Colts, this would be a big one, as they have already started 0-2 and be able to beat another talented team from their division in the Titans. That would be huge for them to get a win in the early part of their season and get them rolling. That being said, though, I think the Colts just kind of have some problems going on right now. That O-line, of course, Braden Smith, he's questionable for this week three game. Carson Wentz, of course, I mean, I believe Frank Reich said if he's able to play, he will start, but we won't know that until Sunday. So I think the Titans are going to be able to take this win.
Yeah, I believe he had a low ankle sprain in the previous quarters of that game against Los Angeles. And then one of them, Aaron Donald just got to him and had a high ankle sprain on the other leg. So he's got two sprained ankles, not ever seen in a boot, and taking snaps at practice a little bit. So like you said, Reich said, if he can play, he'll play. So we'll just have to see with him.
Yeah, but I don't see the Colts winning this one unless Carson gets better, because Tennessee, they've bounced back from the first week and they had a nice win last time out. So yeah, the Colts have to play really well and on top of that, have Carson win so you even have a chance against Tennessee.
Yeah, and of course for Tennessee, they do have Derrick Henry. I mean, King Henry came back to form in week two, having a huge game, so they'll definitely have to be worried about him, but then also the talented receivers the Titans have.
Yeah, moving on to the next game, Atlanta and the Giants. The Falcons taking on the Giants in New York, or New Jersey, I should say. But Falcons, I mean, they're the Falcons.
Yeah. Not much to be said.
And then the Giants, unfortunately, almost had a win last week. The Washington's kicker missed the kick, but one of the Giants defenders jumped off sides and lost 30-29 as they got the re-kick from 5 yards up closer, and he nailed it on the last second. So I don't know about this one. We'll have to see who's going to take this one.
I say it's an easy win for the Giants. The Giants have not played bad, per se. They may be, like, you know, they lost their last two games. You know, they're 2-0, but, like...
0-2.
0-2, rather. My bad. And,
I believe two 0-2 teams, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, both teams are
2-0. Yes, they both have not won a game yet.
Yeah, but I'd say Giants have played a lot better than the Falcons.
Oh, yeah, they definitely
The Falcons
have.
Are coming off of, like, what is it, like a 20-40-something defeat.
25. They lost 48-25 to Tampa Bay.
Jeez, yeah, I don't see the Falcons winning this one because the Giants actually played really well the last game out. They actually fought for it, and they were close. So
they were there to win it, and then they just had some turnovers that hurt them.
Yeah, they got an injury, you know, the first quarter. Yeah. It sucked for them as well. But overall, I do see the Falcons losing this one to the Giants.
Yeah. Going next, AFC West action. We have the Chiefs taking on the Chargers in Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill playing all really well. And Justin Herbert's looking pretty well, pretty good this season. I got to give this one to Kansas City, though. I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to dominate over that Charger defense. I mean, they do have Joey Bosa, but, you know.
He can't do everything for him.
Right. There's 11 guys. So I got to give this one to Kansas City.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs will come out on top of this game. Like Owen was saying, I was about to call you Jackson since I'm used to Jackson, but like Owen was saying, I mean, the Chiefs' offensive firepower is just going to be a lot for the Chargers to handle. But on the flip side, Justin Herbert, the Chargers quarterback, has had a solid start to the season. I don't think he'll be able to bring enough to beat the Chiefs, but it will be interesting to see how he goes against a Super Bowl caliber team.
Yeah, coming into this match, both teams are 1-1, but I do see the Chiefs winning this one fairly comfortably. Los Angeles Chargers just don't have the team to be able to, I don't think they can challenge the Chiefs really easily here, so I do see the Chiefs winning this one.
All right, moving on to another divisional game, and AFC North, we have the Bengals taking on the Steelers. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I got to give this game to Cincinnati. I don't think that Roethlisberger can't really throw the ball anymore. I mean, he's getting up there in age. And I mean, he's got young guys like Najee Harris in the run game, but if you can stop the run game and he can't throw it super well, I think the Bengals defense can just stop him. And then Joe Burrow, obviously not the greatest offensive line, but if he gets some space, he can throw the ball.
Yeah, I think the big question for the Steelers will be, will TJ Watt be playing Sunday for them?
Too.
So he's right now listed as questionable, and I mean, he's one of the highest played, best defensive players in the league, and that's for a reason, because the things he can do to just disrupt an entire team's offense. With that being said, though, I do think the Steelers are still better than the Bengals, and I think they'll be able to pull off this game. But I think the key for them will just be getting a ground attack going, trying to get Najee Harris in a rhythm in the NFL and just taking some of the load off of Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I do see the Bengals losing this one as well. The Steelers have a great team. I know people are questioning Roethlisberger. I can't say this guy's
Roethlisberger.
Name. Roethlisberger or whatever, you know. But like,
call him Big Ben.
Big Ben. All right. Well, Big Ben over here. A lot of people are questioning him, but I do think he still kind of has it a little bit. Like,
he showed it last year. They made it to the playoff. Like, they started off 11-0. He's obviously still got it.
Yeah, he's still that guy. Honestly,
but I don't think that. You know, I just don't think he still has it. But at the same time, I feel like he doesn't have it.
Well, the point I'm trying to drive here is surely he has enough firepower to beat the Bengals. Like, come on, man. The Bengals are coming out losing to the Bears, and the Bears aren't even, you know, that much of a talented team, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch, though. I mean, Joe Burrow, he's week one, of course, had a great performance. And then week two, I mean, he just kind of fell off and did not play that well at all. But Joe Mixon has had a solid start to the season, as well as their receiver Jamar Chase as a rookie already having two touchdowns. So
going from can't see the football to having two touchdowns in 3 weeks or in 2 weeks. So that was saying he's like, I can't see the stripes on the football.
Yeah, but apparently he can see it all right when it's game day.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of the Bears earlier, you're talking about them. The Bears taking on the Browns, Justin Fields, his first NFL start. I mean, I think he's gonna light it up, but I don't think he's gonna light it up enough. I think that the Browns are going to take this one. You know, Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, and then we got all those, Kareem Hunt, and then the Browns defense led by Myles Garrett. I think they're just going to not really dominate, but I think they're going to edge out Chicago to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the Bears do with a new starting quarterback. Justin Fields, the rookie out of Ohio State, not a lot, but some Bears fans say he should start. Some say he should just be developed under Andy Dalton, but he's going to get a chance to show what he can do. But overall, I don't think they'll be able to bring enough to stop the Browns. But the big thing for the Browns is they will be without Jarvis Landry, as he is on the injured reserve. But they still have a lot of offensive firepower. They're hoping Odell Beckham will be back for week three. He was questionable for week two and ended up sitting out another week, but they're hoping he will be able to play week three, and that's just bringing another star back to their offense as well as the other pieces. So I am taking the Browns in this matchup.
Now, I heard you said something about Justin Fields developing under Andy Dalton. I don't know if I want to be under Andy. I mean, he's a good quarterback, but I wouldn't say he's really a mentor-level quarterback right now. I mean, with his career.
I mean, I'm trying to say, like, not necessarily trying to be the next Andy Dalton, but
I would hope Justin Fields is not the next Andy Dalton.
He has experience. He, like, knows how the NFL works. He can just kind of, I don't know, mentor him. Like, he's not the greatest mentor, but he would be able to just because he's a rookie quarterback.
He's got some experience talking.
Right.
Yeah, and just work with him a little bit. Just give him some pointers and that sort of thing.
That being said, I do think Fields is going to have a horror show this week, honestly, because there's no way this guy gets his first, you know, his first start, and he does well against the Browns. The Browns have probably one of the best teams in the whole of the NFL, and I do see a blowout here, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Fields, he showed some promise in preseason. He had a couple games he did all right, maybe a game that he did not do so well on, but it's a different level of competition when it comes to the actual NFL regular season. So it'll definitely be interesting to see how he ends up doing with that.
Yeah. Moving on to Detroit versus Baltimore. In Detroit, the Lions last week not really got blown out by, but kind of got blown out by the Packers. Aaron Rodgers and just dominating that team. I mean, what was the score like? I wanted to say it was like 28.
It's 17 to 35.
17-35, okay. Okay. And yeah,
that kind of changes your philosophy right there.
No. I thought it was closer, but yeah. I mean, Baltimore looked pretty good. Lost week one to the Raiders. Won week two against the Chiefs by 1 point, 36-35. I got to give this one to Baltimore. I gotta have Detroit going 0-3 through the 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit's new quarterback, Jared Goff, he's really done a good job fitting into the new system. So, well, two interceptions on the season, which you don't want to exactly see, but also five touchdowns. So he has played well, but they're going up against one of the good teams of the AFC North. Lamar Jackson, of course, getting that fourth and one call where he was able to get the first down, helped leading their team to a win against the Chiefs, who I believe are second overall in the NFL power rankings right now. So that's a huge win for them. I think they're going to keep on rolling off of that. And even with the injuries that hit the Ravens, they will be beating the Detroit Lions this weekend.
Yeah, Detroit come off of a frustrating loss against, who were they playing against? Sorry.
The Packers.
The Packers, which, you know, first week they were not that good at all. It was really bad for them. But
yeah,
they did
Aaron
kind
Rodgers
of recover.
Had, what, three interceptions in his first week?
Yeah, one
only
point
like
50 on the
yards.
Yeah,
and 1 point in fantasy.
And then turned it around week two. So
yeah, I mean, good for him, but I do not see the Detroit Lions winning this. I do see him picking up their third loss of the season against the Ravens, as Lamar Jackson has just been popping off as of recently. And the other players on the Ravens are just, you know, they've been informed. They've been good. So I do see this as a comfortable win for the Ravens.
Yeah, and the thing about Lamar Jackson, not only is he throwing the ball, but he's also the leading rusher for the Ravens right now, too. Which, I mean,
a murder out
I mean,
there.
They, I mean, when all of your guys go down with injuries before week one.
Yeah, so he's known for being a running quarterback, but then once you lose your running backs, I mean.
Would they lose two or three in the first week?
Two
to ACL?
Yeah.
Gus Edwards, and then there's one other guy. I can't remember his
Dobbins.
Name.
Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins, yeah.
Yes. But, I mean, he's filled the role since those two got injured.
Yeah. All right, next up, the Saints versus the Patriots. Mac Jones coming into this one as a rookie. Jameis Winston looked like famous Jameis in week one and then threw some interceptions in week two. They took a loss in week two. The Saints did. So I got to give this one. I'm going to give this one, even though that I said they just lost last week and Jameis Winston had a couple interceptions, I got to give this one to New Orleans. He played really well in week one. Not so well in week two, but I think he's just going to work over this New England defense. So, I mean, the Patriots did win last week 25-6 over the New York Jets, but yeah,
good,
I still got
a good portion of that one was from a disaster class from Zach Wilson. So,
oh, yeah. He's. I've heard people comparing him to Johnny Manziel, really good in college and really bad in the NFL. Now, it is really early.
It's early, yeah.
It's yeah,
early
I mean, what's Peyton Manning had, they went 3-13 his rookie season. He had 26 touchdowns to 28 interceptions. So, I mean, he had a Hall of Fame career, but I got to give this one to New Orleans. Not Jackson. Kevin, do you have any words on this?
Yeah, Jameis Winston, I mean, of course, week one, he went crazy throwing 5 touchdowns. But then week two, no touchdowns and 2 interceptions. But he is going up against a team being led by a rookie quarterback. Mac Jones, only 1 touchdown on this season so far. But their running back, Damian Harris, has had a solid start to the season for the Patriots. Overall, though, I do think the Saints will be able to beat the Patriots. Patriots. Why did I just say
Patriots?
Patriots. I don't know what I'm doing. Patriots.
All right. Next up, kind of a game that we all know the winner of. I mean, not to predict anything early.
Ooh, that's very
Jacksonville awesome. Versus Arizona.
Well, I mean.
I mean, really no worry. I got to give this one to Arizona. Jackson, I mean, I don't even know what to say. Trevor Lawrence, not playing super well right now.
He's Urban had a rough start.
Urban Meyer, an NFL coach, is comparing every team to Alabama. Did you see that?
Yeah,
he said, like, every week we're basically playing Alabama, which
so
is.
So coaching in the NFL is clearly just much harder than. Being one of the powerhouses of college football.
Yeah, they run the Big Ten, get to there. They're one of the worst teams in the NFL.
But, I mean, it's a different kind of game. Big adjustment.
Yeah.
But Kyler Murray, I mean, his start to the season has been incredible. 7 touchdowns already. A few interceptions, but he's leading them to win, so who really cares? But Trevor Lawrence, I mean, his quarterback rating right now is about a 70, so not very good at all, but it will be a while, I think, before this Jacksonville team kind of figures out their rhythm, especially with that new piece at quarterback. So I think the Cardinals will be taking this dub.
Yeah. Christian, any words on this?
Yeah, I do see the Cardinals winning this one very easily. Jacksonville have just not been it this season so far, and I do see them picking up the third loss this season. The Cardinals going 3-0.
And, you know, kind of the surprise for the Cardinals this year has been Rondale Moore, the rookie out of Purdue. Already having 182 yards and a touchdown on the season.
Pretty solid stats for a new boy, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. And the last 1 o'clock kickoff game on Sunday, the Washington football team going against the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen looked pretty promising in the first 2 weeks, as he did last season. People were comparing him to MVP status, but unfortunately just fell short in the playoffs. Stephon Diggs looking pretty good. The Bills defense overall just looking pretty good. And then Washington, moving on to Washington there. Taylor Heineke looked really solid in his first 2 weeks. Not really first week. Week two against the Giants, he played really well. But I got to give this one to Buffalo.
You know, it's interesting looking at these two teams' stats because they're really very, very similar. I mean, Heineke and Allen, the two quarterbacks, both have around 450 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Both running backs, Antonio Gibson and Devin Singletary, both about 150 yards. And then two very talented receivers in Terry McLaurin and Stephon Diggs, both having a good amount of yards and just a touchdown. So offensively, they match up well, but I do think the Bills' defense will be able to handle Heineke and what the Washington football team brings to the table because, I mean, at the end of the day, their backup quarterback, he is playing well, and he could continue to do that, but you kind of expect some more problems out of a backup, so I think the Bills will be able to handle it and take the win.
Right. Yeah. I think the D-train led by Buffalo, I mean, they shut out Miami 35-0. I mean, sure, they're still a good team, led by Tua Tagovailoa. And
Miami by no stretch is a bad team, and it's pretty impressive from the Bills to hold them to not get a single point down in that game.
Yeah, so I'm going to give this one. Unfortunately, I do have to leave, so I'm going to let Kevin run the rest of the games. But thanks for letting me host. Got to say thank you for that one.
Yeah, thank you to Owen for being part of the show today. He, of course, has to take off and go take care of his other school responsibilities. So, unfortunately, we are losing him. But just in time to go to the 4 o'clock games for the NFL on this Sunday. And starting off, we have the Jets and we have the Broncos. And, of course, the Jets are having the issues at quarterback with Zach Wilson having a rough start to his rookie season, and I think this one pretty easily is going to the Broncos.
Yeah, and first of all, I want to go off on Zach Wilson. Like, I gave you my faith, man. What happened? The prodigious man. I said you were going to pop up against the Patriots. You go do that. Come on, man.
He let you down.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I'm going to go complain to him. But, yeah, I do see the Broncos getting their third win here, and the Jets going down to 0-30 because Zach Wilson needs to really step it up or... Yeah, there's just no chance, honestly.
Yeah, and Denver is favored by about 10.5 points technically in this game. So a pretty big margin for an NFL game, those two possessions. But next up at the 4 o'clock spot, we have the Dolphins and the Raiders. And Derek Carr for the Raiders, their quarterback, he must have found the fountain of youth in the offseason or something. Like that. He is back to his MVP form that he was 1 year. He has been going crazy, putting up crazy passing numbers and stats against the Dolphins team led by Tua, who just got shut out, like we were saying, by the Bills. So I do think the Raiders will be able to pull off this one against the Dolphins.
Yeah, as you said, Derek Carr is going crazy in the league right now this season. He's just gone insane. And, Dolphins coming off a very unimpressive loss against, who are they playing again?
The Bills.
So, I mean, the Bills is a good team and all. The Dolphins aren't that bad, but, yeah, I do not see them recovering from that loss once again, and I do have to give it to the Raiders here.
Yeah, and just to put it into comparison, on the season, Derek Carr has 817 pass yards through 2 weeks, jeez, and Tua Tagovailoa has 215. So... that's a 602 difference. One thing I think will be important for the Raiders, though, is to get their running back, Josh Jacobs, going a little more for a quarterback to continue to put up numbers like that is tough. So if they can get their run game going to help out the quarterback a little bit, it would help a lot for them. As Josh Jacobs on the season has only 10 attempts for 2 touchdowns and 34 yards. So if they can use him a little bit more, I think that would help out. And then they also have talent in Darren Waller, their tight end. Some say he's one of the best in the league. So, I mean, if they can't get the run game going, they do have some pieces to throw the ball to. And then two very talented teams in this next matchup, two undefeated teams, two NFC teams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the LA Rams. Matthew Stafford has seemed to found himself a better home than Detroit, as he has had a solid start to the season with the Rams, and he's got to love throwing the ball to their receiver, Cooper Kupp. I mean, he already has 3 touchdowns and 271 yards on the season, but you can never be too sure when you're going up against the man named Tom Brady. He already has 9 touchdowns on the season, so this should be a great game. Both teams, talented offenses and defensive. Of course, the Rams are kind of known for the talent on their defense. I mean, they have Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey at corner. So it would definitely be interesting to see what ends up happening. So I think this could probably be one of the best games of the week, as I think it's hard to choose a winner because you could just see them both. But I do think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will take this one and move to 3-0.
You know, I honestly think the Rams have a chance here. This will probably be the game of the week, but I do see the Rams winning this one as they have a strong defense. And Tom Brady does have 9 touchdowns this season, but I do see him pulling off a shocker.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's definitely a game to watch out for this week. It's one of those 4 o'clock games. So it should be an exciting one. And then there's another matchup. 2 more games left in that slot. Seattle is taking on Minnesota. And this one, Russell Wilson, hot start to the season. Hasn't thrown an interception yet. Kirk Cousins the same, though. Another hot start. Hasn't thrown an interception. And the thing about the Vikings is you can say what you can about Kirk Cousins. He may not be the most elite quarterback, but when all fails, give the ball to Dalvin Cook. One of the best backs in the league, 192 yards rushing on the season already and a touchdown. But even if you have that offensive firepower, it's hard to go up against Seattle. I mean, they've always been known for playing tough, strong, physical defense. And then the combo of Russell Wilson, Carson, and Tyler Lockett. I mean, it's just Lockett already has 278 yards and 3 touchdowns on the season. So the connection between him and Russell Wilson has been outstanding. So this is, I put faith in the Vikings last week. They ended up coming up short against the Cardinals, losing 34-33. So a really close game. But I think the Seahawks will be taking this one.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. The Seahawks just have incredible offensive power, and as you said, their defense is pretty solid. They do play some hard physical football, but yeah, Tyler Lockett has just been insane. He's been putting up so many points. He's been making my fantasy really good. So yeah,
gotta like seeing that.
But yeah, I do not see the Vikings winning this one, but I do see a close game here.
And that takes us to the Sunday night football game. The Green Bay Packers are traveling to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. And the question going into this one is, what Aaron Rodgers are we going to see? Are we going to see Aaron Rodgers from week one, who had the 30 Q quarterback rating? Or are we going to see the week two Aaron Rodgers, who had 4 touchdowns? Now, they do have the talent. Devontae Adams, a talented receiver with 177 yards on the season, but no touchdowns. But the 49ers, I mean, they've had a good start to the season. They're 2-0. Green Bay has 1-1. And just now we've gotten a message from GM, general manager of WBDG, John Easter. His fantasy team, the Easter Bunnies, he is rooting for them, and they do not. I guess he has taken on the Tiburones. Is that it? How do you pronounce it?
Tiburones. Yeah, they're taking on my team, and I do not see him winning that one either, honestly.
Yeah, so we have that WBDG Fantasy League, so it's fun to have that competition between everyone in the station. But back to this game, I do think the 49ers are going to be able to take this one. Garoppolo playing well, and a big person for them has been Debo Samuel, 282 yards and a touchdown on the season. It will be tough for the Packers to slow him down.
Yeah, I do see Green Bay Packers. They've just been, you know, kind of crazy recently. Like, first week was horrible. Second week, they did pretty well. But I do not see him being the 49ers here. The 49ers have just been playing fairly well, and I do see him pick up their third win. Aaron Rodgers has to step it up. You better not pull up with that match day one stuff, because that's horrible.
Yeah, and really, I mean, it's week one of the NFL when he did that, so you never really know what you're totally going to get. So Packers fans definitely want to see him become more consistent. But that's the Sunday night football game. Christian and I both have the 49ers taking the win in that. And that just leaves us with one more NFL game of the week. Two teams who are 1-1, the Eagles and the Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys have had a hot start. Or not hot, but they've had players who have been playing very well. Dak Prescott has been one of those players who came off injury, but his back getting back into his form. And then the Eagles have Jalen Hurts, who everyone was super high on, but then last week he did not play that great as they lost to the 49ers, only scoring 11 points in that game. And Jalen Hurts, not only is he throwing the ball for the Eagles, he is also like Lamar Jackson. He's the leading rusher. And I think it's kind of tough for teams to be very, like, have a dynamic offense when you can expect their main rusher to also be the quarterback, because it's just one of those things that's kind of easier to game plan against.
Yeah.
And then the Cowboys have just a talented offense. I mean, CeeDee Lamb as a receiver. They also have Amari Cooper. I think the Cowboys will be able to take this win against the Eagles.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. The Cowboys just have a great offense. Dak Prescott, you know, pressing the first two games of the season, and Jalen Hurts is doing a lot, and I don't think he could do it all for them, so I do see Cowboys winning.
Yeah, and the thing about the Cowboys is just their run game. It's kind of been interesting to see. Tony Pollard has ran the ball 16 times for 123 yards, and kind of the more well-known running back, Ezekiel Elliott, has ran the ball 27 times for 104 yards. So Tony Pollard having really a better performance at running back right now. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how they start to get used. Maybe they run two running backs going in and out of the game, or maybe they'll just stick to one guy. But it'll be interesting to see. But I do think the Cowboys are taking the win on that Monday night football game. And that does wrap up our week three kind of predictions of the NFL. We'll be back on Tuesday to talk about the games and what all happened. But that wraps up the NFL section of the Sports Spotlight. We're going to take a 1 minute break, and then we're going to get some soccer coverage from Christian.
He was the heart of your family, and he taught you our history. He helped you fix your first flat. He was the best backyard DJ around, and every time he'd tell a story, he'd own the room. But now more than ever, he may feel alone. Today, older adults and their loved ones are struggling to connect in a time when connection has never been more important. But there is something we can do. Embrace our older loved ones through StoryCorps Connect. With StoryCorps Connect, you can honor seniors remotely with an interview about their life. Every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history, so that years from now, future generations can listen in.
All right, Grandpa, what's one piece of advice you have for me?
Just three words, sweetheart. Live with courage.
The man that had the best stories still has plenty of stories to tell. So connect virtually and share the conversation of a lifetime at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. Connect, honor, share. StoryCorps Connect. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
We are back here with the Sports Spotlight approaching that 2 o'clock hour on this Thursday afternoon. And we are now going to send it to Christian to get some soccer news.
Thank you, Glava.
Whoa. You're starting to sound like the host, Jackson.
Thank you, Kevin. All right. There's quite a bit of news of soccer starting off this week. Let's go to a little bit of weird note with a game between Honduras Club Olimpia and Suriname Club Inter. That is a long name. I'll just call him Inter. But Inter's owner and vice president of Suriname, Ronnie Bunsquiz, decided to start himself in this game where his team went on to lose 6-0 against the Honduras side Olimpia. Quite a crazy incident, especially since the vice president is 60 years old and not exactly in a soccer player's shape. I just thought it was funny and it would be great to start off with. Next up, we got some news on James Rodriguez, who has left Everton to move to Al Rayyan in Qatar. It sucks to see such a talent leave Europe, but I'm sure he's going to make some bank in Qatar and help his family out a lot with that money. But last season, James Rodriguez had such a good start to Everton, but then fell off after he started having some conflict with the board and managers of Everton. He did manage to find them back in the back of the net 6 times in 23 appearances. Moving onwards over to France, we got Messi, who has picked up a bruised bone injury, unfortunately, during a match versus Lyon after he ran into his arch-enemy, Jerome Boateng.
And that's really got to hurt, a bone bruise.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that is deep if it's going to be hitting a bone. And I don't know. I just think that sounds very painful.
Yeah, it probably is. We could see Messi in the game after completing a dribble. It showed that he had some pain. He was touching his knee and stuff, and that prompted him to get subbed out, which prompted a lot of talk in the soccer community about Messi getting subbed out, which is interesting because we don't see that too often. But this has put Messi at risk of missing out the two next games after he did miss out against one against Mets. And one of those games does include the crucial Champions League match day 2 fixture versus Manchester City. So hopefully Messi's back because PSG are going to need him in that game, as Manchester City is a very elite team. In other news, the England women's soccer team has racked up 18 goals in 2 matches, which has prompted up a lot of talk in the United Kingdom about will a World Cup finally come home once again. So
yeah, they're taking no mercy on their opponents right now. They are scoring however many goals they want to.
Yeah, but I can't wait to hear England fans shouting it's coming home once again.
I mean, we saw what happened last time they did that.
Yeah, the Euros. Well, they got to the final and lost that one, so they're giving it to the ladies and have hope. All right, moving onwards, let's talk about some soccer leagues. I haven't talked about them in a minute since the Champions League has come up, but I'll be talking about top 3 teams and the bottom 3 teams. All right, first of the league, we're talking about La Liga, which has first place Real Madrid, who have picked up 16 points, winning 4 of their last 5 games, including their most recent one, a 6-1 win over Marcella, which is a very good win to pick up indeed, with a hat-trick from Marco Asensio. Interesting enough, the team that he got the hat-trick on is also his former team. And he did show some respect by not celebrating any of the goals against them. So good to him, good sportsmanship. And moving down to the table, we got Atletico Madrid, second place, winning 3 of their last 5 games, tying the other 2 with 14 points. Atletico come out of a 2-1 win after they played Getafe, who they won, well, now 5 of their last previous 5 matches. But it was pretty scary for them for a hot minute in the match. They were losing 1-0 up until the 74th minute, where a Getafe player picked up a red card, and it prompted Luis Suarez and gave him the opportunity to score 2 goals to save Atletico once again. Third place is Sevilla with 11 points after winning 3 of their last 2 games, drawing the other 2 as well. And Sevilla are coming off of a good result, but they do find themselves third place with 11 points, and it's interesting to see where they do end up this season. Will they overtake Barcelona, as Barcelona have not been performing well? They're in 8th place right now, but they do have a game at hand. All right, moving on to the bottom 3. We got Granada, who are coming off of a draw against Barcelona, but they have not won a single one of their last 5 games. They have 3 draws, 2 losses. So they do find themselves at only 3 points. Moving down to the table, we got Getafe in 19th place with 0 points, losing all 5 of their last games. And we got Alves as well, who's doing the same thing. Even worse than us, they do find themselves in 20th place with 0 points from their last 5 matches. So a lot of fans are probably upset about those 3 teams, and they're hoping that their teams can bounce back and survive the season. Going over to England in the EPL, the English Premier League, we got Chelsea in first place with 13 points, winning 4 of their last 5 matches. My team right there. I'm sure they'll win the league. Hopefully they do. Moving down to the table, we got Liverpool with 13 points as well, with 4 wins out of their last 5 with a draw as well. Third place, we got Manchester United with 13 points as well, with 4 in the last 5 games being wins. And so far, it seems like this title race is going to be quite interesting this season. Liverpool, Manchester United, Manchester City, and Chelsea all have excellent teams. It's going to be interesting to see who ends up with the Premier League. Also, I thought this was funny. Brighton, a team no one would ever expect to be anywhere near the top five, is in fourth place with 12 points currently, winning four of their last five games. One of them is a loss, though. So, I mean, if Brighton won that game, they could have theoretically been at the top of the Premier League, which would have been kind of funny. But moving down to the bottom three, we got Newcastle United, who are at the bottom three with 2 points and three losses with two draws in their last five games. 19th place Burnley with 1 point with one draw, four losses, and Norwich with no wins, 0 points. Moving on to Germany, the Bundesliga, first place we got Bayern Munich, as expected, with 13 points with four of their last games being wins and one draw. Second place is Wolfsburg with 13 points, four wins, and one draw. Third place is Dortmund with 12 points, 4 wins, and 1 loss. Now, the bottom of the Bundesliga, surprisingly, in the relegation playoff, a team no one expects to be is Mönchengladbach. They are a team that have found themselves in the Champions League in recent years, but they are at the bottom with 3 losses, 1 win, and 1 draw, only having 4 points. VfL Bochum find themselves at the bottom after suffering like a 6-0 loss against Bayern Munich, so they find themselves with only 3 points with 4 losses and 1 win. Fourth, the bottom team has found 1 point off of a draw, but they have lost their other 4. Going on the Ligue 1, the French league, we got PSG in first place, winning all 5 of their last games with 21 points. Second place Marseille with 14 points, 3 wins out of 5 with 2 draws. Angers find themselves there with 1 loss, 3 draws, and 1 win out of their last 5. At the bottom, we got Brest, which is at 4 points out of their last 5 with 3 losses and 2 draws. Also, Saint-Étienne, which is a kind of a historically big team in France, find themselves in 19th place. Kind of scary for the fans, I imagine, seeing one of their teams that used to be a giant in Europe potentially being relegated with 3 points only, 4 losses, 1 draw, and immense in their last 5 games. They picked up 3 losses, 2 draws, and have 3 points currently. Ligue 1 is an unpredictable league. Besides, you know, everyone's saying PSG is going to finish first because they always do. But besides that, it's basically like a sort of like a battle royale for the rest of the teams to see who ends up in the spots. So good luck to everyone, I guess. Try to catch PSG if you can. Moving onwards, we got Serie A, which is usually dominated by Juventus, but not this year. Juventus are suffering the loss of Cristiano Ronaldo, and they do find themselves in 12th place. So let's talk about the people trying to replace them and take the throne. First place is Napoli, currently, who are playing right now, winning 4-0, so they are expected to win their last 5 games with 15 points. Second place is Inter Milan with 4 wins, 1 draw. Inter Milan are the champions of last season, but they are looking kind of for recovery after they lost their top goal scorer, Romelu Lukaku, to Chelsea. Third place is Inter Milan, who are going through a little bit of injury crisis, but they still picked it up in the league, 13 points, 4 wins, and 1 draw.
And you are listening on Indy's Giant 90.9 FM HD1 Indianapolis.
Indeed you are. Anyway, going down to the bottom three of Serie A, we got Venezuela with 3 points, the new boys, only picking up 1 win in their last 5 results. Calgary, a pretty decently sizable historic team in Italy, finding themselves second the bottom with 3 losses and 2 draws in their last 5 games. And some Tina, which is a new team as well into the Serie A, they also find themselves at the bottom with 1 point, 1 draw, and 4 losses. So hopefully they get their act together and can move up the table. But that's all the leagues I'm going to be talking about for today. I hope you guys enjoyed soccer and see me next Tuesday.
Thank you to Christian for that coverage on soccer. That will conclude today's episode of the Sports Spotlight. Thank you for listening. You can tune in every Tuesday and Thursday at 1:15 to hear us talking about whatever sports news is going on at that time. But for Christian, I am Kevin. Have a good rest of your day.